Hello, welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. This week we are presenting part two of Max Goodname and the Silent Night, an original story by Daniel Hines, read for you by Kelsey Lee, the original host of Stories Podcast. Like the other Max Goodname stories, it has a little more action and can be a little spookier, so parents, maybe give it a listen through on your own first if you aren't sure. That said, if you could handle part one, then part two should be just fine. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to River and Hazel and their family, Elsie from Portland, Oregon and her family, and Milo and Aviva and their family. Thank you for helping to support our show, River, Hazel, Elsie, Milo, and Aviva. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. If you would also like to support our show and receive a thank you in a future episode, please head to patreon.com/stories and make a pledge, then send an email to amanda@storiespodcast.com and tell us who to thank.
Hey, grown-ups, power up your family's playtime with the Nintendo Switch system, the home of Mario and friends. Jump into the unexpected with Mario, Princess Peach, and more in Super Mario Bros. Wonder. Or challenge each other to a race in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Go to Nintendo.com and browse the full lineup of Nintendo Switch systems. Additional accessories may be required for multiplayer mode. Games, system, and some accessories sold separately.
Thanks! Enjoy the episode!
Chapter 5, With a Song and Witch's Wand. The courtyard of High Mendwell was crowded with clerics going about their business and merchants hawking their wares, so the five questers met up in the stables near the lesser-used rear gate.
All right. Does everybody know the plan?
Cass shrugged his heavy shoulders, eager to be going.
Aye. Me and Mother will go gather the western dwarves, the ones who made it free of the mines. By the time you get the witch's wand in return, we'll be ready.
Dawn, 2 days from now, at the entrance to the mines.
Yeah, and try not to get into any trouble without us, said Wallace. Max gets all grumpy if he misses a fight.
We'll be careful, said Mother Winds. Corley, you take care of the boys. There's nothing so dangerous as a pair of boys on an adventure. I swear it leaks the wits right from their heads.
I'll watch them, Mother. Worst comes to worst, I'll plug up their ears. That should keep their wits in check.
Their noses, too, Mother Winds said with a wink.
Cass helped her onto her small white pony and then mounted his own horse.
2 days at dawn.
Aye, 2 days,
replied Cass. Then he gruffly stuck out a hand in front of him.
Good luck, Sir Goodname.
Max shook the dwarf's hand.
You too, Cass.
Corley stepped next to Mother Winds' pony and gave the dwarf a hug.
Mother, I know we need the wand, but what about the words? The words that once the gods forbade. How can we stop the Silent Night if we don't know them?
Mother Winds only smiled and patted Corley's hand.
I don't know, child, but trust me, they will come when needed. Just get the wand and try not to be late.
I will, Mother. Good luck, you two.
Cass nodded and then spurred his horse through the gate and onto the great western road beyond, leading the mother's pony behind him.
Well, I guess we better go too,
said Max as he climbed into the saddle.
Come on, good speed.
Good speed?
Asked Corley. She was astride a gentle white mare that matched her robes.
It's what he named his horse, said Wallace, rolling his eyes and swatting at his own horse as it tried to eat a mouthful of robes.
Corley laughed and Max flushed.
Okay, so I'm not good at naming things. Next time I get a new horse, I'll let you name it. It'll probably end up with some 15-syllable long goblin name that'll melt your hair when I say it. But at least you'll be quiet for once.
Corley laughed again.
What is your horse's name, Wallace?
I call him Gluey.
That's a terrible name for a horse.
Yeah, well, he's a pretty terrible horse,
said Wallace, pulling his robes from the horse's mouth again and swinging into the saddle.
Now, are we going to talk about horses all day, or are we going to go steal a wand from a haunted house?
I wouldn't say we're stealing it,
said Max, uncomfortable with the idea.
No one has lived there for hundreds of years.
Are we asking permission?
No.
And are we going to bring it back after we're done?
Well, no.
Then it's stealing, Max. But since we're stealing from a witch to save the kingdom, I think the king will forgive us this once.
You boys are ridiculous,
Corley said, and set out through the High Mendwell gates at a trot. Max and Wallace fell into line behind her. They rode hard all that day and reached the edge of a great sinking swamp at sunset. The trees were gnarled, rotten, and bent over like they were hiding dark secrets. The water was still and stagnant, and the air was thick with blood flies, their fat gray bodies and needle mouths weaving from limb to limb. The three slid off their horses and tethered them to a tree. The ground was too soft for the heavy animals.
Ugh,
said Max, pulling on his helmet to keep the bugs from his face.
Are we sure this is the place?
Corley and Wallace were looking at a map together under the smooth yellow light of the wizard's glowing wand.
Looks like, but there's a spell on the cottage to keep people away. But Mother Wind said it's only an illusion.
That's right, said Wallace, rolling up the sleeves of his voluminous blue robes. But luckily, you have Wallace Q. Wallace, wizard at large and master of illusion. Stand back and watch me work. Wallace muttered some strange words under his breath and flourished his wand like a dowser looking for water. It swung back and forth along the line of the swamp, occasionally twitching or dipping lightly. I can feel it. It's a powerful illusion, he said, sweat standing out on his brow. As Wallace searched for the edge of the illusion, a fat bullfrog hopped out of the trees and looked up at Max with bulging eyes.
Turn back, it croaked. Turn back. Turn back.
Max jumped, grabbing Corley's sleeve.
Did you hear that? That frog just talked to me.
Corley nodded, face pale.
The witch left her mark on this place. The animals have been exposed to the lingering bits of her magic, and they remember.
Oh, I wish they'd be quiet about it.
Aha! Cried Wallace, his wand nearly jerked from his hand. And here we have it! A mist of light began to pour from Wallace's wand, like smoke drawn through a chimney. It pooled and pushed against the edge of the swamp until the trees and stagnant water flickered, and then, in the blink of an eye, the illusion dropped. The swamp was still there, but a minute before, where only deadfalls and black water stood, there was now a high, clean path heading straight through it all. A league or so away, Max thought he could spy the crumbling ruins of the witch's cottage. After you, almighty hero, Wallace said with a mocking bow. Max scowled, but he drew Parlo's old sword and stared down the path. A raven on a branch above him quirked. Turn back! Turn back! Max wondered if he shouldn't listen to the bird. After all, he'd only been a knight for a few months, and though he didn't know exactly how old he was, he knew he was barely a teenager. Surely if the king had known that the silent knight was real, he would have sent Sir Hugh, or one of his other household knights of good repute. But he didn't, thought Max. He sent me, and I won't let him down. Sword at the ready, Max walked towards the cottage. Corley fell in behind him with Wallace in the back, wand at the ready. All around them, the animals quirked and croaked and hissed. Turn back! Turn back! Turn back! Turn back! Turn back! The cottage was little more than a skeleton. The thatch roof had burned to nothing. The stone walls were sagging like melted candles, held up by nothing more than the creeping, evil-looking ivy that covered the structure. It smelled wrong, worse than the swamp around it, even. Max pushed past a rotting wooden door and into the room beyond.
Who dare enters the house of the witch?
Max was so scared he flinched backwards and nearly dropped his sword.
Who dare disturb the eternal sleep of Marnie the Great, Marnie the Terrible, Marnie the Witch o' the Wood?
Max. Max Goodname.
Max Goodname! What kind of name is that?
The voice seemed to come from everywhere and nowhere. Inside the ruined cottage, Max could see nothing but more ruined cottage.
What kind of a name is Marnie for a witch? Yelled Wallace. I had an aunt named Marnie. Made great cookies. Not such a good hand at spells, though.
Wallace, please don't tease the ancient evil.
A young wizard. Don't bother denying it. I can taste the magic on you. You'll make an excellent servant.
We're not here to serve. We're here for your wand.
You dare ask for my wand?
The wind began to blow, sending clouds of dust swirling through the air. Stronger and stronger it came, picking up chunks of rubble and hurling them through the air. Max blocked a brick with his shield, and Corley ducked just in time to dodge another.
The Silent Knight has returned,
said Corley, shouting to be heard over the whipping gale.
The Silent Knight who destroyed your body all those years ago. The old wizards have moved on, and we need your wand to trap him once more.
The wind died. The voices died. The air in the cottage was still and heavy.
The Silent Knight. I gave him a princess in exchange for a voice, and in return he ended me. He stole my life from me.
I can't give you your life back, but give us the wand, and I swear we can give you vengeance.
The witch's voice didn't answer. The silence stretched out like iron, hot from the forge. Finally, when they had all but given up hope, a raven flew down and landed on Max's shoulder. In its beak was a smooth, straight wand of ebony. The bird dropped the wand into Max's hands and quirked out loud.
Vengeance! Vengeance! Vengeance!
All the other animals joined their voices to the ravens. The forest was suddenly alive and ringing with the cry.
Vengeance! 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 Vengeance!
Vengeance! Chapter 6. The Battle for the Western Mine. Cass squinted up at the sun. It was above the horizon now, its golden light shining on the armor of the 20 or so dwarves that had managed to escape the mine.
They're late,
he growled, slapping the heavy end of his sledgehammer into his gauntleted palm.
Be patient, Cass, said Mother Winds. The mother wore no armor but the white robes of the clerics, though she had pulled back her molten copper hair and secured it with a golden ring.
They'll be here soon. It's barely past dawn.
Cass grumbled and scuffed his boot into the pine needles littered earth. They'd been sitting there all night, in the woods near the entrance to the mine. Cass and his ragged army. The bulk of the dwarves were still trapped underground, locked and chained into a large mess hall they had used for meals when they didn't want to make the trip to the surface. From their camp, they could see a dozen of the Silent Night soldiers, each one still in stone, their blank marble faces revealing nothing. They stood like gargoyles at the mouth of the mine, watching, waiting, guarding.
They've got our kin down there,
said Cass, after another agonizing 60 seconds or so had stretched by.
I'm giving them 5 more minutes, and then we're going in.
There was a rough grumble of agreement from other dwarves. All were clad in mismatched bits of armor they had donned during their hasty retreat from the Silent Knight and his stone soldiers. Some had battle axes and war hammers, but most had no more than the picks and sledgehammers they had been working with down in the stone. A raven flew overhead, its inky black feathers stark against the morning sun.
Vengeance!
It quirked.
Vengeance!
A moment later, Spitstone, the dwarf Cass had assigned to watch the northern trail, pushed into their little clearing, Max and the crew following behind.
It's about time you got here,
said Cass by way of greeting.
Did you get the wand?
Wallace patted the folds of his baggy blue wizard robes.
Does an owlbear eat in the woods? Is this all the dwarves you have?
Cass smiled.
Have you ever seen a dwarf fight, boy?
I saw one wrestling with a keg once.
We dwarves are fierce fighters, and the greatest stoneworkers in all of Northend and beyond.
Spitstone laughed and spit onto the ground.
Aye, fierce dwarf foes and masters of stone, so these stone foes are no problem for us. It's the Silent Night that needs handling.
You leave the Silent Night to us,
said Max.
Just clear us a path.
Aye, are we ready now?
Said Cass, twisting his hands on the hammer's grip. Max glanced around and realized Cass was looking to him. In fact, everyone was looking to him, waiting for him to give the order. The pressure was almost enough to make Max miss the days of sleeping by the side of the road with Parlo. At least then, there was no one to let down if he messed up, no friends to get hurt by an evil renegade knight turned dark wizard.
Let's do it. Mother Wince, you protect the dwarves as best you can. Cass, call the charge.
Cass turned to Spitstone.
Brother, sound that horn.
Spitstone spat and raised his watchman's horn, a black twisting thing from some giant mountain goat. He put it to his lips and blew a mighty blast, one that shook the trees and sent birds fleeing into the sky. The dwarves bellowed and charged and crashed through the stone soldiers like a hammer through chalk. Max waded through the battle, his sword not much use against the stone foes. He tried to keep an eye on both Corley and Wallace Q. Wallace, but that left no eyes for himself, and soon a stone sword hit him high on the helmet, ringing his head like a bell. After that, he paid more attention, following Cass through the battle with his shield at the ready. Once inside the mine, Spitstone led a group of 5 dwarves down a narrow, crooked chamber, and soon came the sounds of stone and steel from his direction. When he emerged a minute later, spitting into the rocky ground, he had another 50 dwarves at his back.
Figured we could use some help, so I sprung these in from the mess hall,
he called out, giving Max a gap-toothed grin. The dwarves picked up the stone swords of the fallen enemies and joined the battle.
Quick now! Our way is down and down,
said Cass. He led them through another tunnel, away from the fighting. Soon the sounds of the battle were nothing more than ghostly echoes following them down the tunnels. Wallace lit the way with his wand, but even still the darkness seemed to press in, close and heavy.
We're nearly at the boar track. Just past the bend, it goes straight to the House of Silence.
They came around the corner, and Max saw the tracks, an empty minecart poised to roll. He had a second to be thankful, and then 6 stone soldiers detached themselves from the darkness and came at them, swords raised.
Get in the cart, now!
Hollered Cass, catching a stone sword on the haft of his hammer and turning it aside. Corley and Wallace dove into the minecart just ahead of the limbering statues. Max turned to buy them time. With his old sword, he carried a clumsy cut from a stone soldier, caught a second on his shield, and let a third bounce off the thickest part of his chest plate. Then, with all his strength, he bowled into the nearest soldier with his shield and sent it staggering back. Cass finished the job with his mighty sledge, catching the stumbling foe clean in the chest and crumbling him into a dozen pieces. Max watched in horror as the pieces continued to twitch and flop on the ground. Cass grabbed the front of Max's armor and pulled his face down so they were eye to eye.
"Get in the cart, now!"
the dwarf bellowed, and he pushed Max away just in time to shatter the shield of another soldier with his hammerhead. Max took three stumbling steps and then dove into the minecart, landing in a heap on top of Wallace.
"Ah, get off me!"
"Cass!"
Max said. The remaining soldiers were surrounding the dwarf now, their stone swords pummeling his armor.
"You go. Ride it to the bottom. Ride it to the House of Silence,"
Cass called back.
"Everyone hold on,"
Corley said, and she leaned over and yanked free the brake lever. The cart immediately began to pick up speed, bulleting down and down into the depths, into the House of Silence. The last Max saw, Cass was being swallowed up in the raging tide of stone and darkness. Chapter 7. Words That Once the Gods Forbade. Down and down, that was the route. Max's world was nothing more than the grinding of metal wheels on the iron track, the smell of damp cave and raw iron, and the scared faces of his two best friends beside him in the cart. Wallace's wand cast its light, but the bouncing of the mine car made it shaky and wobbly and sinister feeling.
"Does this ever end?"
asked Corley, peering into the darkness ahead, the speed pushing back her hair.
"We must be a mile underground,"
said Max, struggling and finally succeeding to sheath his sword.
"We have to be getting close."
As it turns out, they were a little too close. Without warning, Wallace's light revealed the sudden end of the track, a cart fully loaded with golden ore sitting squarely in their path.
"Corley, hit the brake!"
"No time to slow down! Take my hands!"
Max felt her slim hand slip into his own and had a moment to be surprised how strong her grip was. And then they were crashing. Their cart slammed into the one on the tracks, sending both screeching onto their sides and smashing into the wall. The rocky ore flew through the air and smashed into the cave walls. And for a moment, the House of Silence was filled with noise like it hadn't known for 100 years. And then, as it always had, the silence returned. After a minute, a gauntleted hand burst through the pile of rubble. The hand found a solid bit of rock and dragged its owner out of the pile. The moment he was free, Max turned and began to dig. After a moment, he found Corley and Wallace. They were battered and bruised, but otherwise fine.
"How did we survive that?"
Wallace asked, and then coughed up a mouthful of pebbles.
"A ward. I've never casted one for three people at once before, but it turns out when you're absolutely terrified, the magic comes a little easier."
"Ain't that the truth? I had a teacher once. Couldn't conjure up so much as a candle without being afraid. He used to have to hide me in the chambers and jump out at him."
"Shh," said Max, pointing to a rough hole in the wall. It was bigger than Cass had described it. It looked like someone had cleared out more of the rock and smoothed the edges, but there was no mistaking the sickly red light that spilled out.
"Are you guys ready?"
Max asked. Corley and Wallace nodded.
"Lead the way, pal," Wallace said, somehow managing a little grin.
Max couldn't help but grin back.
"It's just an ancient evil knight with magical powers. How bad could it be?"
There was a flash of red light, so bright it drove a spike of pain into Max's skull. He thought he screamed, but he wasn't sure. By the time he could think straight again, he was on the ground next to Corley and Wallace, a loose ring of stone soldiers surrounding them.
"Let them rise,"
came a voice like broken glass. The soldiers backed off a little, and the trio pulled themselves shaky to their feet.
"Let me see."
The soldiers parted, and there before them, glowing red in the aura of his power, was the Silent Knight. Ernie had been a burly dwarf, and his body was unchanged, but his hair had turned a ghostly white, his eyes blank slates of foggy red. He wore a robe similar to Wallace's, but instead of royal blue, it was colored a deep blood red. Behind him, lighting up the cavern, was the giant ruby on its dark altar.
"Why have you come?"
"We just wanted to talk, you know? See what it's like living in a giant ruby. That kind of thing."
The Silent Knight snarled and raised his hand. Wallace slid forward, nothing but the points of his toes touching the ground, and found himself hanging in the air in front of the dark wizard.
"No more talk. Only silence."
As Max watched, the terrible red light flowed from the Silent Knight to Wallace's mouth, covering it, smothering it. Max and Corley both lunged forward to help, but their arms were grabbed and pinned back by the stone statues. Wallace began to grab at his neck, feet kicking futile in the air.
Max, he can't breathe! What do we do?
Max racked his brains. What had the Lore Mother said? The song, the wand, the words that once the gods forbade. Wallace had the wand, and not even the Lore Mother had known the words, but a song. And Max began to sing, and he sang the only song he knew by heart, not one he learned at the king's court with all its musicians, or one he learned from his friends while passing time on the road, but a song he had learned when he was no more than a boy from a staggering Parlo the Pink.
I've got a pony, his name's Baloney, his hooves go clippity-cloppity-clack.
Max, what are you doing?
Corley hissed, but Max just sang louder.
And when you see my pony and me, careful this baloney bites back.
The Silent Knight gave a roar of rage. Wallace Q. Wallace fell forgotten to the ground, where he took a big whooping breath of air.
No singing.
The words seemed to cause the dark wizard immense pain. Corley joined Max, singing all the louder. Wallace scooted backwards on his butt, away from the red aura.
Stop!
Roared the Silent Knight, ripping a sword from the grip of the nearest stone soldier. He advanced on Corley, his eyes a thundercloud of evil red energy, crimson lightning crackling along his skin.
Wallace, I'm stuck!
Max cried, struggling uselessly against the stone soldiers holding him still. Wallace rose to his shaky feet and brandished his wand. A green light fought through the red and washed over the soldiers. They flinched for but a moment, but it was enough for Max to pull free. The Silent Knight stood in front of Corley, still held helpless by the soldiers. He raised the stone sword high in the air and brought it down with all his might. It rang out like a bell. The terrible stroke stopped mid-swing by Max's sword, a bare 3 inches from Corley's nose.
Sing. Sing anything.
Corley began to sing a song Max had never heard, something high and sweet and full of promise. It was about new dawns and clean linens and pure sweet water. It drove the Silent Knight to agony. Max drove him backwards with a flurry of his sword, slashing high and low and fore and back. The Silent Knight was stronger, older, wiser, but the singing seemed to be hurting him more than any blade ever could. Max was in close now, and the Silent Knight was still managing to block every blow, so Max pulled out another of Parlo's old tricks. The next time their blades came together, crossed and locked, Max snapped his forehead down into the wizard's nose, hearing the crunch. That broke his concentration enough for Corley to escape the stone soldiers. She ran to Wallace.
Give me the witch's wand now! I'll get the ruby, you help Max!
Wallace fished the wand out of his robes.
Corley, you don't know the words! You need my help!
She cut him off.
Max needs your help, Wallace! Look!
The Silent Knight had regained his composure, the red energy of his magic spreading out behind him like wings. Max sang again, but the wizard seemed to ignore it now, or he had protected himself from it with some magic. Max didn't know which, but he did know he was in an awful lot of trouble.
Wallace, I need you!
Wallace pushed the witch's wand into Corley's hand and raised his own.
I'm coming, buddy!
The Silent Knight's magic wings beat at the air, and a flurry of red daggers flew at Max. Just before they skewered him, they turned to puffs of smoke and wisped away.
No!
Yes!
Said Max, very happy to still be alive. They picked up the fight again, Max darting in with his sword and Wallace deflecting the Silent Knight's spells as best he could. The three danced back and forth across the cave, lit by the steady glow of the ruby's heart. The stone soldiers were frozen. Whatever magic had been used to bring them to life was now being spent fighting Max and Wallace. Corley knew she only had a moment. She ran to the ruby. It seemed to sing to her, to whisper musically sweet nothings to her. But she was a master cleric and not so easily guiled. Max slashed at the red glowing foe, but his blows were turned aside. Wallace fired a spell, but it was brushed off contemptuously. It was fast becoming clear that the Silent Knight was a better swordsman than Max and a better wizard than Wallace. In fact, it was becoming clear that he was better than both of them put together.
Corley!
Called Wallace as he turned a tornado of red light into a spring breeze, sweat dripping down his face.
We don't want to rush you, but do something!
Corley took the witch's wand, whispered a prayer, and laid it on the ruby. Where it touched the stone began to pulse with light. The Silent Knight gave a bellow of pain and started for the altar, but Max drove him back with a roaring two-handed swing of his sword.
The words! I don't know the words!
There came a flutter of wings, strangely loud in the chamber. Corley looked up and saw a black bird against the black stone, diving hard for the ruby.
Vengeance! Vengeance!
It landed on the altar, regarding Corley with its beady black eyes.
Wand! Wand! Wand!
Corley placed the wand in the raven's talon. The bird flapped once, landing on top of the ruby, and then it began to quark softly. It said five words that once the gods forbade, unknown but to witches, and then tapped the stone with the ebony wand. The ruby grew bright as a star on a cloudless night, and then brighter still, so bright that Corley had to look away. The light seemed to reach out, probing, until it found the silent night. It latched onto him, wrapped around him like tendrils, and began to drag him in. The silent night screamed with rage, and the air around him seemed to catch fire, burning like a dragon's breath. Max pushed Wallace out of the way and took the brunt of the flames, feeling the heat radiate throughout his armor. The dark wizard grabbed at him even as he was being pulled in by the ruby, the red aura of his magic crawling up Max's arms.
I have your body.
I have a pony. His name's Baloney,
Max sang, and the silent knight cried out in agony, losing his grip. The white tendrils of the ruby ripped him across the cave and pulled him into that light, too bright to look upon. There was a terrible ripping noise, and then the light began to fade again, dimmer and dimmer, until there was nothing but the soft glow of the ruby on its pedestal.
Careful,
Max said to himself.
Cause this baloney bites back.
He walked over to the altar and was surprised to see the silent knight sitting at its base. Adrenaline still pumping wildly through his blood, he raised his sword.
Wait, Max, wait, look at him. Wallace, give us light.
Wallace lit his wand. Max lowered his sword. The dwarf before them had dark hair, a dark beard, and two normal brown eyes. There was no sign of the raven or the wand. Chapter 8. The Short Road Home.
It's good to see you made it through. I was worried about you kids.
Cass was laying in bed, wrapped in bandages from head to toe. Only his great dwarven beard and little eyes showed through. He was one of the worst off, him and Jack, but between the skills of Corley and Mother Winds, all of the dwarves would pull through just fine.
We were worried about you, old man, said Wallace. I saw you playing pigpile with those statues. I thought you forgot what side you were on.
Cass started to laugh and then groaned.
Oh, no jokes, please. My funny bone hurts. Everything hurts.
You come visit us when you're well, okay? But I don't want you out of that bed for at least a month.
A month? You expect me to lay here for a month?
I do, but don't worry. Mother Winds is going to stay and make sure you get well.
The mother poked her head into the room and flashed a smile, her freckles scrunching.
Well, maybe a month won't be so bad.
An hour later, they were all packed up. The dwarves made sure they had plenty of food for their ride back to Northend, and they even gave Wallace a beautiful chest of carved stone. The lid was slightly askew from loading it onto the horse, and a red light was shining through.
Wallace,
said Max.
The ruby.
Oops, said Wallace, settling the heavy cover back in place. My mother always said to be more careful with my magical artifacts.
Did she really?
Well, no. She told me to clean my room, but it's pretty much the same thing.
Corley rolled her eyes.
Can't you take anything serious?
I take you guys serious. Wallace protested. I think we're just about the best team in Northend. A basilisk and the silent knight? Wait until the king hears about this.
They waved their goodbyes and started east, towards High Mendwell and the king's castle of Northend.
I guess we are pretty good. I still can't believe we fought the silent knight. Did you see me? I was all like, ha, 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 ha.
He slashed at the air.
You were very brave, said Corley.
You were too. You saved us from the minecart. And you and the raven trapped him back in the ruby?
You too, Wallace, said Wallace. The way you turned those magic daggers into smoke and saved Max's ungrateful life, wow!
They all laughed. Max leaned over in the saddle and caught Wallace in a rough hug.
You know I love you, buddy.
Yeah, get off. Your armor smells like an old dog.
How about a traveling song?
Asked Corley.
I know a great goblin tune, said Wallace.
I'll pass. How about you, Max?
Max cleared his throat.
I've got a pony. His name's Baloney. His hooves go clippity-cloppity-clack.
The end.
Today's story, Max Goodname and the Silent Knight, was an original poem written by Daniel Hines with Nate Auger as Max Goodname, Emily Auger as Corley Anders, Daniel Hines as Cass and the Silent Knight, and the very talented Kelsey Lee as Wallace Q. Wallace, the Lore Mother, and everyone else. If you would like to support the show, please head to our iTunes page and leave a review for Stories Podcast. If you would like to receive a thank you in a future episode, please visit patreon.com/stories to make a pledge. Then send an email to amanda@storiespodcast.com and tell us who we should thank. The artwork for this episode was created by Lindsay Ruane. Check out this week's illustration and find info about submitting your own illustrations at storiespodcast.com/art. You can also check out storiespodcast.com/shop for unique illustrations based on our stories, along with t-shirts, tote bags, and other products that support the show. Thanks for listening! Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.